know, each and every single one of us lives our life to a rhythm. Right? Every single day we have different motions, different patterns that we go through. For example, you know, your morning might look like this. The alarm goes off, you roll out of bed, or maybe you hit that snooze button 3 or 4 times, and then you roll out of bed. You know, grab your phone, make some coffee, right? You're ready to begin your day. You rush out the door, already running late for work or for appointments, and you know, you jump into your car, and immediately you just outraged at the car in front of you that has the sheer audacity to be going the speed limit. Don't they know that you have somewhere to be, right? If you have kids, you know, maybe you get home from work and you feed them, you get ready, and then finally it's bedtime routine, right? You wrestle your kids into bed, and you you know, you're fending them off by giving them that fourth and final cup of water, and finally you creep downstairs and hope that they're actually asleep, and then completely and totally exhausted from a day full of work, you just collapse on the couch, right? You turn on your favorite TV show, and you just binge watch it. You pick up your phone, and you start scrolling through social media, completely exhausted, and then the next day comes, and you do it all over again. Every single one of us has a rhythm. Your rhythm might sound a little bit like what I just described, or maybe it's a little bit different, but we all have a rhythm. The only question is are you satisfied? Are you happy with the rhythm of your life? Over the next several weeks, we're going to be going on a journey to become just a little bit more like Jesus. Our series is called Sacred Rhythms because there are unforced rhythms of grace that followers of Jesus are called to embrace. We will explore these rhythms in detail in the coming weeks, but this morning I wanted to begin by simply warning you about something. And what I want to warn you about is the great enemy of the spiritual life in our day. A well-known author and pastor by the name of John Ortberg was mentored by the late Dallas Willard. Now, if you haven't heard either of those names before, you're welcome for the introduction. One day, John found himself discouraged with life. He wasn't really the man that he wanted to be. His life wasn't really going the way that he wanted it to go. And he was a follower of Jesus, and he couldn't figure out what exactly was wrong. What was he missing? Why was following Jesus not all that he hoped it would be? Why wasn't it transforming his life in the way that he wanted it to? Have you ever been there? I know that I have. And so in frustration, he calls up his mentor with this burning question. And he says this, he says, what do I need to do to become the me that I want to be? What do I need to do to become the me that I want to be? And there was a long, thoughtful pause on the other end of the phone. And then finally, after a moment, Dallas responded, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. So John quickly jotted that down. You know, he's probably thinking to himself, man, that is gold. Like, this is really good stuff. So he writes it down, and he finishes writing it down in his journal, and he's ready for more. He says, okay, Now what? What else? And Dallas responds, there is nothing else. Hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. End of story. Now, if you had asked me as your pastor living here on Vancouver Island, what I would have thought, what I would have said to the question, what is the great spiritual enemy of our day? I don't know what I would have said. I probably would have said something about living in a post-Christian culture or religious pluralism or militant tolerance or a change in sexual ethics in society or maybe social justice or COVID-19. I don't know what I would have said, but I can tell you what I wouldn't have said. I wouldn't have said hurry. I know, like, how would you have answered that question? But the more that I think about it, the more that it sits with me, the more it resonates with my soul. The more I see that the profound truth in that statement, hurry is destroying our souls. Now, if you think I'm overstating it, listen to this quote from John Ortberg. Years after this conversation, he wrote this. For many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. Does that sound familiar? Does that hit a little bit too close to home to be comfortable? Would you describe your life as being distracted? Do you feel preoccupied? Do you feel like you're skimming life instead of actually living it? Do you feel like you know what, I'm following Jesus, but it really just isn't what I thought it would be. I'm just kind of settling for this mediocre version of Christianity. Do you feel like you're just rushing from one thing to the next, just multitasking your way through life? I know that so many of us feel that way. And if you're still hesitant, if you're not really sure if hurry is really the great enemy, listen to this. Did you know that psychologists and mental health professionals have identified a disorder called hurry sickness? And hurry sickness is defined as a behavior pattern characterized by continual rushing and anxiousness. The Time Cure offered these symptoms of hurry sickness. All right, moving from one checkout line to another because it looks shorter or faster. Counting the cars in front of you to see which lane is going to be the fastest and moving into that lane. Multitasking to the point of forgetting one or more tasks. Now, I don't want to play armchair psychiatrist, okay? But I'm pretty sure that we all have hurry sickness. And what's worse is that hurry is wreaking havoc on our physical and mental health. We're so stressed out and anxious all of the time, which leads to us just crashing hard and numbing ourselves with hours of just media content, entertaining ourselves to death. It's making us irritable, driving us into isolation, and causing us to neglect our physical health. Did you know that hurry sickness has actually been linked to heart attacks in men in their 50s? Let that sink in for a moment. And just for fun, if we've put an assessment on our website. If you go to our website under the resources link, you can actually find a quiz, a self-assessment quiz that we've modified from a book by John Mark Comer. By the way, great book. If I could recommend a top book for 2020, it is The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. We've adapted his symptoms of hurry sickness, and we've put them on our website. So I would challenge you, if you're brave enough, because chances are you're not going to like the answer that you get, but if you're brave enough, to check that out sometime this week. And so all of this pathological busyness is taking a toll on our mental and physical health. But here is the real question. Here is what really matters. What is all of this hurry doing to our souls? Michael Zigarelli of Charleston Southern University of Business, say that five times fast, conducted a survey to identify obstacles to spiritual growth for Christians across the globe. So this isn't just a North American study, this is worldwide. And the results showed that busyness was a major factor in stunting spiritual growth. He hypothesized the following. He figured that Christians are assimilating to culture of busyness, hurry, and overload, which in turn is leading them to marginalize God in their lives, which leads to a deteriorating relationship with God, which leads to Christians becoming more vulnerable to adopting secular beliefs and practices, which leads to more conformity to culture of busyness, hurry, and overload. It is an endless feedback loop that is killing our souls. And by now, I hope that you are tracking with me. By now, I hope that you are asking yourself, how can I ruthlessly eliminate hurry from my life? How can I get back on track with my relationship to God? How can I get my life to be the me that I want to be? And this isn't just about reorganizing your calendar. While that's certainly a piece, in order to fully understand hurry, we need to come to terms with the depth of our distraction. To quote a Catholic author, Ronald Rollheiser, we are distracting ourselves into spiritual oblivion. See, we often assume that the answer to eliminating hurry is just more time, right? How often have you said to yourself, man, I just wish there were more hours in a day? If I just had a little bit more time to fit these things in, I could. If I just had more time. We often fall into the trap of believing that what we do with our time is just completely out of our control. That busyness just happens to us. But I think most of us would be surprised to realize how much available time we actually have. A quick Google search will tell you that on average, people in Canada watch 23 hours a week of TV. That is a part-time job. Another study shows that most people touch their phones 2,617 times per day. You think that's a big number? For us millennials, double it. And I'm embarrassed to say that that sounds about right. I wish I could tell you that the answer is just to turn off your TV or to put down your phone. But the problem is that we are addicted to our devices. We can't stop, even if we want to. In fact, the first president of Facebook, Sean Parker, if you've seen the movie, he was played by Justin Timberlake. And he's since moved on from Facebook and considers himself to be a conscientious objector to Facebook and other medias like platforms like that. And he admitted this. He admitted that the goal of Facebook and similar platforms as this is to answer the question, how do we consume as much of your time as possible? See, he went on to say that they were exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology. That every like, every comment gives us just a little dopamine hit. It just leaves us wanting a little bit more, and it encourages us to post more and to share more and to do more. And we just can't get enough. We can't help ourselves. But here's the thing. The problem is deeper than digital. For all of you workaholics out there, me included, did you know that a study done by economics professor John Pencavel found that after 50 hours of work a week, productivity decreases. And get this, after 55 hours of work per week, the decrease in productivity is so severe, it's so steep that it's completely pointless to work any more hours beyond that. Here's a news flash for you. The answer to an unhurried life isn't more time. I'm going to say that again because I think we need to hear it. The answer to an unhurried life is not more time. So before you go out and take a sledgehammer to your TV and you throw your phone into the ocean, both are pretty good ideas, you need to know something. Our problem is deeper than digital. It is deeper than society. It is deeper than the man. Our problem is spiritual. Our problem is within ourselves. See, we need to be brave enough to dare to dig a little bit deeper and realize that all of this rushing around, all of this hurry, all of this busyness is leading us somewhere. It is taking us to a destination. We're constantly striving to be someone, to recreate ourselves, to be the person that we want to be. So badly we want to feel the peace and the serenity that ad for a tropical vacation is promising us. We want to experience the joy of owning that brand new SUV. Right? We want to have our kids in the best sports programs, in the best colleges. We want our kids to be successful. We want to be successful. To experience that satisfaction. Our hurry is a means to an end. All of us are either hurrying from something or to something. Maybe you're not just hurrying towards those things. Maybe you're also hurrying away from shame or guilt or emptiness. Maybe you're hurrying from restlessness. We are all hurrying to or from something. And Jesus' words ring truer than ever. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. You want to know what the posture of your heart is? You want to know what is really important to you, what actually matters in your life? It's very simple. All you need to do is look at your motivations. To ask yourself, what is driving me? What am I aiming for? Where am I headed? See, many Christians have spent their whole lives building their kingdom, building their lives, fulfilling their desires, instead of building the kingdom of God. And then we wonder, we sit back and we wonder, and we say, why aren't I experiencing the joy and the life and the peace that God has promised me? We get sucked into the consumeristic lie that joy is on the other side of a new home or a blender or an outfit. And it's just not the case. See, the real problem is that when we finally get our treasure, when we finally get everything that we ever wanted, we still feel empty. Actor Jim Carrey said this, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it is not the answer." It's like we're chasing after the wind. We're just pursuing all of these things, all of these ideas, all of these this stuff. And when we finally get it, we still feel restless. We're just never satisfied. We seem to be full of desire that cannot be satisfied. One of the life's great tragedies is that at the end of all of our striving, we will look back and realize that we have lost our souls. A good descriptor of this striving is violence. This type of hurry, this type of living is violent to yourself. It's violent to those around you. Author Wayne Mueller reflects, "A successful life has become a violent enterprise. We make war on our own bodies, pushing them beyond their limits. War on our children because we cannot find enough time to be with them when they are hurt and afraid and need our company. War on our spirit because we are too preoccupied to listen to the quiet voices that seek to nourish and refresh us. War on our communities because we are fearfully protecting what we have and do not feel safe enough to be kind and generous. War on the earth because we cannot take the time to place our feet on the ground and allow it to feed us, to taste its blessing, and to give thanks." These are sobering words. Why is it that for all of our striving, we still feel restless? For all of our achievements, we still feel discontent. And for all of our distractions, we still feel a deep, unrelenting emptiness. I think the answer lies in this. That maybe, just maybe, it's because our souls were not made for this world. Our souls were not made to be satisfied by anything that the world can give us. Jesus posed the question this way. "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul?" Pastor Alexis, I'm going to invite you to come back up. What do you benefit? Where is all this striving? Where is all this hurry? Where is all this rushing around? Where is this taking you? How does it benefit you if you lose your own soul in the process? And so this morning, I just have one very simple question for you. How is your soul? How is your soul? Have you lost it? Maybe just a part of it? And most importantly, are you ready to take it back? Because that's the first step. Can I get very real and very honest with you for a moment? This is a message that's been on my heart for a while. I just feel like God has, from all kinds of different angles, has just bombarded me with this word. And I know that we're all anxious. We're all anxious for life to get back to normal. We're anxious for COVID-19 to go away and just to get back to whatever the new normal is. We're anxious to go to stores and restaurants and parks and camping and travel and all those things. We're anxious to get back to church and to gather together in a building. But let's just put a pin in that for a second. What if God, in his infinite wisdom, has and our distractions, our busyness, our hurry, our restlessness. What if he has taken all of this away so that way he could get our attention? What if God is... When was the last time that you heard God's voice? When was the last time that you were refreshed by the Holy Spirit within you? When was the last time? What if God wants to do something that only he can do during this time in your soul? See, what's our regular excuse for neglecting God? What's our regular excuse to pushing God to the margins of our life? Busyness, hurry. And so my great challenge to you this morning, what I believe God is calling us to as a church, is not to wait. Don't just wait and kind of sit back in the armchair and just kind of wait for this whole thing to blow over. But instead to press in, to take deep roots in your relationship with God. To really take time to seek him and his kingdom. To stop building your own kingdom and start building his. If I had one word for us, church, it would be this: come back stronger. Come back stronger. Come back stronger in your own soul. Come back stronger in your marriage. Come back stronger in your relationships. Come back stronger with your kids, with your family. Come back stronger. How do we do that? Again, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. There is nothing else. And so I invite you to join me on this journey over the next several weeks as we explore the sacred rhythms of grace, as we explore the rhythm for life that God has designed us for. And if you want to do that, I invite you right now to pray with me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, first things first, just out of the gate, I need to be honest with you. My soul is not where it needs to be. My priorities are not where they need to be. I've spent so much time building my own kingdom that I've neglected yours. And God, I don't want to lose my soul. And so, God, I pray that you would lead us into life and life everlasting. God, that you would empower us through your Holy Spirit to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives so that we could seek you, so we could live in the unforced rhythms of grace that you have for us. In Jesus' mighty name,
Amen.